Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I am so excited to share with you the final interview of 2021. We've had a lot of amazing authors on the podcast this year, and I'm so thrilled to be ending the year chatting with Genevieve Gornicek about her incredible novel, The Witch's Heart. You've heard me gush about The Witch's Heart on the podcast before, and you're about to hear me gush some more. I love this book, and I loved chatting with Genevieve. So without further ado, please enjoy. Hi, Genevieve Gornicek. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing so well. I have to tell you, I'm so excited to have you here. You're my last interview of the year, which is so fitting because I've been screaming about your book.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
I'm obsessed with it.
Thank you. That's so kind.
I got an early e-arc from the publisher. And I'm a bookseller. Like, I need my physical books. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, I sat there on my phone and read your whole, like, I couldn't stop.
Oh my gosh.
Which is such a testament. Yeah. No, I love it so much. So some of my listeners have obviously heard me gush about it, but for those who haven't yet, give us the elevator pitch. Tell us about The Witch's Heart.
So The Witch's Heart is a reimagining of Norse mythology centering the giantess Angerboda, who is only known to us from our sources by her association with Loki and their three very unusual children.
Yes. Unusual is a good term.
Yes.
I love Angerboda. I love this book. And like, she's pretty obscure, right? Like, she's she's really not a main character in any sense of the word, whereas I feel like we all know Loki, at least Marvel at the very least.
Right.
But I love that you took this like person who's been mentioned a couple of times offhand and you were like, I'm giving her her own story. Yeah. Like, I'm giving her the novel that she deserves because she's amazing.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. I can't. Thank you.
No, I love her. And like, as a mother, I was reading this and I was like, yes, girl. I was like, I understand every decision that she is making in this novel. I get it. But let's back up a little bit and talk about your love of Viking history and Norse mythology. Like, I love in your bio that you say that you majored as closely as possible to Vikings. Let's talk about that.
So when I was an undergraduate, I went to Sweden for a semester. I was super not into Vikings at the time. You know, I'm wandering around, Stockholm and Uppsala and being like, oh, there's a runestone. Oh, there's a Viking thing. Oh, there's another Viking thing. I'm just like, whoosh, right over my head. And then I decided to do Scandinavian studies minor. And the first class that was available when I got back to the States was an Old Norse language class. Ooh. Like, it was just in translation. Like, it didn't have really many prerequisites. Okay. So I went in there like having no idea what to expect. And the first story we translated was the story of Loki and the horse.
Okay. Yes.
And I was like, wow, because I'd read Norse mythology when I was a kid. I was more into Greek mythology as a kid, but I knew the Norse myths. And after I was like, there's so many like cool things going on with the language, like in translation. And I was just like, you know what? I love this stuff. And by the end of the class, like that was it. Like I was like 100% sold. So.
Oh, that's awesome. I love when a class just hits you like that. And you're like, this is my everything now.
Yep. Changed my whole life, like the whole like trajectory of my life. So yeah. Oh,
that is so cool. And did I see a note about some Viking Age living history?
Yes.
So this is so cool. Tell us more.
I got into that because I was taking those classes in college. I actually applied to graduate school, got in like for Viking studies, and then I couldn't make it work. Okay. A lot of things, you know, undergraduate student debt, and it was abroad, so like there weren't like a whole lot of funding options.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so I need another way to like channel this passion. So I bought a Viking outfit like off the internet. I went to the medieval fair.
Cool.
And was kind of scooped up by my local Viking reenactment group that I did not know existed until that very moment. And the rest was kind of history. It's how I met my partner. Like it's become like a huge part of my life, and it allowed me to go back and kind of like add more detail to The Witch's Heart, which I have written like 10 years ago.
Okay.
From now. Like I wrote it back in 2011. So.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so cool. When I tell you, like, so many of the booksellers here would just throw themselves headfirst into this like Viking living history. Yes. That, like, we're so into it.
That's awesome.
That is so cool. For folks who maybe like read The Witch's Heart, but that's like their first introduction to like Norse mythology and things like that. Do you have like jumping off points? Do you have like favorite stories they should look up or like favorite books they should like take a peek at? Like where should we go from here?
So that's actually a really like good question, because
probably a huge question.
When I did like exactly one in-person event over the summer, like for those 2 weeks where like it almost looked like everything was going to be fine. And then boom, Delta. And I was asked like, do you feel like it's a big responsibility that this might be some people's first introduction to Norse mythology? And I'm like, yes. Oh my God, I'm gonna puke. Yeah, like that is huge, because I've had so many people like say that. And that's why I wrote like the whole appendix of the book to be like, this is what the sources say. Like, so people could hopefully like see where I took liberties, because I'm not trying to rewrite the canon. I'm just trying to say, like, what if all of this was happening behind the scenes? Because if you ask 1,000 different writers to write Ankerboda's story, you're going to get 1,000 different stories. We know nothing about her pretty much.
Right.
But to answer your actual question, I really enjoyed Neil Gaiman's retelling.
Yes.
It was really good. I like that it is shorter, so it's like less intimidating. And I love Neil Gaiman's writing as well. So I'm a big fan of that. I also really enjoyed in college Kevin Crossley Holland's retelling.
Okay.
And it's just Norse myths.
Cool.
And that is, it's a little bit thicker.
It is. It's a big boy.
Oh yeah. But I like that it's so detailed.
Yeah.
And it gives you really like all of, like, it gives you everything, and it's so great. But like for the super duper nerds, the Prose Edda and the Poetic Edda, are like translations of the actual like sources that we have for Norse mythology, that were written down in the 1200s.
Wow.
So hundreds of years after the Viking Age actually ended. So like, you know, it kind of sucks that we don't have anything that the Vikings actually wrote really about.
Right.
Them.
Yeah.
This is all coming to us much later. So there's a lot to unpack with the Eddas, but they're great.
Yeah, I did notice that you mentioned those right in the beginning of the appendix and stuff. I was like, okay, noted. Yeah. I have been hand selling your book and Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology side by side. Like,
I'm honored.
Like, take both.
Thank you so much.
I've basically been throwing this at every person who comes in, and like they just read Circe and they're like, what do I do next? And I'm like, oh, you like mythology stories and some romance, and okay, maybe some adventure. Here, read this.
Oh my gosh. The comparisons with Circe will like never know. Not like make me cry like in my heart.
It must be wild.
I loved that book.
It's so good.
It was the reason that I started trying to get The Witch's Heart published after sitting on it for 7 years. I was like, nobody's gonna care about my book about some witch who gets exiled and lives as a hermit. And then Circe came out, and I was like, "Welp,
maybe."
Yeah.
Turns out she's awesome. So to throw us back into Angerboda's story. So she is basically, we know her as Loki's wife. That's kind of all we know, but this story gives her her own personhood, which is lovely. and she's a mother, but she's also more than a mother, which I think is great as well. We don't just have her motherhood story. We have her as a witch, and we have her like having this whole journey, which is great. What was that like to just like get into her head and be like, I'm going to give you a story? What was that like?
It was so frustrating. Really frustrating, because my whole like goal of making the story that would fit into the mythology meant that I had come up with this super powerful character by combining her with these other mythological female figures that we don't know much about. Like, I had given her too much power, and I was like, what kind of person would she have to be to have all this power and not use it to try to change Ragnarok? Like, I think that's what a lot of people might have been expecting coming into the book, that she would somehow thwart the prophecy, save all her children. and I'm sure that that story has been written before. I just really wanted to stay true to the mythology and just be like, okay, so that presents me with a new problem. So how do I navigate this? How do I write a more satisfying ending where everybody dies? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
It's Ragnarok, like everybody dies at the end. It's so that was, that was a huge challenge. And so like, it turned out, you know, I was like, okay, so what kind of person is she to be this way? And the answer is who she is in the witch's heart. Just like quiet, unflappable, like doesn't want to be involved with anything. She's like, my favorite protagonists are like the reluctant protagonists. Like they never wanted to get involved with any of this stuff. And they kind of find themselves dragged in for reasons beyond their control. So
Yep. I love that she's like, okay, fine. All right. All right. We're doing this, I guess. No, that's amazing. And I also love that because, again, for folks who are coming in not from the Norse mythology side, but maybe from the Marvel side, it's like, this is not the Loki and the Odin and the Thor that you know.
Right.
Are you able to enjoy Marvel's depictions of them in spite of their Norse namesakes?
Yes, I am super able to compartmentalize that because Marvel like isn't even trying to be accurate. They've kind of created their whole own thing, and that's over here. And Norse mythology itself is like over here. And they overlap a little bit, but you know, Marvel's not trying to be true to the myths. They've really come up with their own canon for Marvel. And I really enjoy it. Like, I love Marvel's Loki as well.
Me too. It's so funny reading it. And like, I have like a low level knowledge of Norse mythology. And so like, I'm reading it, and I'm like, I understand that. Yes, this is how Loki is, but also I'm picturing Tom Hiddleston, and I'm like, Tom, don't. Don't betray her.
Right. I read a lot of, I only read the reviews that I'm tagged in, which is good practice for any authors or aspiring authors listening to this.
Yes.
But I've been tagged in a lot of reviews that say like, I pictured Tom Hiddleston, as Loki during this whole book. I'm like, more power to you. Like I didn't really like layer on the descriptions of all the gods and stuff, because really you could picture them however you want. A lot of people came into it having really strong, like, you know, mental images of what the gods and goddesses look like, maybe since you were kids even. Yeah. So that's all you. Like, that is whatever readers want to do.
If you're able to do that and not go insane, cool.
Right.
I did, however, I love the descriptions of her children. I love her children.
Me too. I wish I could have given the boys more screen time.
There was
so much that like had to kind of get, like with a debut novel, word count is definitely a concern. So
of course,
would have liked to give her and Scotty more screen time as well.
Yeah.
That's my other like big regret.
Ooh. Yeah. what are you working on next? Will we see more from, is this going to be like a series, or are we going to see something totally new?
So I don't ever intend on writing a sequel to this. This is like pure standalone. I don't know how I would write a sequel to it considering the ending. But I don't think I'm going to veer too far away from, you know, Vikings, you know, Norse things, Nordic things, just because I've poured like, you know, the past 10 years of my life, over 10 years of my life into getting like really into this.
Yeah.
And then to just kind of switch tracks would be like, I don't know nearly as much about Greek mythology and the sources and all that stuff, or like any other mythology. And
I also like, that's so good to hear, because I feel like we need this Norse fiction. Like we need it. I want more.
I'm glad that people are liking it. Like, I really hope, you know, when the book first came out, one of my friends is in a Facebook group, and she saw that when she posted about my book in the Facebook group, she had somebody be like, oh, you know, I was writing an Angerboda story too. Like, this sucks. And I'm like, no, do it.
Please do it.
Like, literally, there's so many ways that this could have been written. Like, please write your own version. That would be amazing. As they say, a rising tide carries all ships.
Yes.
Like, raises all ships. So I really hope to see more of this. Like,
me too. Yeah. I really hope that this is a trend that comes out, because it is so cool and the stories are amazing. And like, I think it'd be cool to get like more stories where it's like yours, where we're like, okay, this is an obscure character we know nothing mm-hmm. about, let's imagine, but also retellings as well are super yeah. cool. So I just want more of it. Let's see. I'm just looking at my notes here. I just have mother's love in huge writing. I just love that, again, like reading this as a mom, and like, I don't think you have to be a mother to read this and be like, yeah, no, that is how someone would react to everything that she's finding out and these prophecies. And all right, like the way that she, I guess sort of creates hell in the way that she's like, okay, you're dying, but no, I'm bringing yeah. you back. And it,
right.
Coming, and it's like, I get that,
and the guilt.
Oh, I get that. The yeah, guilt.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's like, but she wouldn't change it,
right?
You know, like that. Yep. I don't think she'd go back and do things differently, because yeah. then she wouldn't have her daughter. Yeah, I just was reading it, and I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, every decision here, yes, yep.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, and the. I almost threw my phone across the room when they heard Loki refer to them as monsters. I was like, nope, 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 nope.
That was one of the hardest scenes to write in the whole book, because I love Siggyn, like mm-hmm. Loki's Asgardian yeah. wife. Like, I love her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I would never write a story about her because I don't feel that same connection. And I feel yeah. like I would be doing her a disservice. And there's other people out there who are way more connected with her and more qualified to write her story or already have. But that scene was really hard because, like, you know, Loki could have avoided all of this by simply introducing his wives and not like putting it off until the worst possible second for them to meet by accident. And Angerboda yeah. really, in that scene, like, takes her anger out on Siggyn for calling the kids monsters, like, when Loki just did the same thing, like, 5 minutes earlier. Like, oh, so frustrating. That whole scene, like...
That scene was so hard.
Because if she had made a different decision, if Angerboda had just, like, walked away, none of the rest of it would have happened. And that, right. so that was just... It's really hard to watch your characters make terrible decisions.
Yeah. But
if they don't make... If they always make good decisions that always result in what they want, then where's your story? Where's the conflict? Right.
There's no conflict. Oh yeah, that's so hard. I know. Yeah, that whole scene, I was like, oh, these poor kids who, like, you know, it's not their fault.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. They're a giant dog and a giant servant, right. and a half corpse. No, it's amazing though. This story is, and it's not super long. It's a very quick read. Which might just be because I couldn't put it down. And
the next ones are going to have chapters. That yeah. was a creative decision on my part. And I know that it hit well for some people, and for other people, it was really frustrating. So, like, I understand that.
No, I mean, but there were like natural breaking points and things right. like that, right. you know, but it added for me, it added that layer of like, I can't stop reading. Like like every once in a while you'll start a book and you're like, if I stop now, like what's going to happen? Like I can't, it just adds to this like rolling snowball getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And that's how this book felt reading it. I was like, okay, but I have to know what happens next.
Yeah.
And so I just sat there and read it completely and became obsessed with it. And it was so funny because one of my coworkers she's a super Marvel fan and she is like in love with Loki. And I was like, okay, but girl, you have to read this book. And she was like, oh yeah. and she did, and she loved it. So
I'm so glad.
She thumbs way, way Thank up. You. Yeah, we're big fans here. What about you? What have you been reading recently?
Oh my gosh. I've been reading ARCs. Just yes. so many ARCs. Oh my gosh.
I know. It's a big question.
What am I reading? Okay. So I was actually at Emerald City Comic Con this past weekend.
Jealous.
As a panelist, which is like beyond my wildest dreams. Because I'm a total... So cool. Thank you. I'm a total geek. So like, I've been going to cons forever. And yeah. So to be a panelist for the first time at such an amazing convention was amazing.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I got to meet like several other authors, like including Charlie Jane Anders, who is
lovely. Her.
She is lovely in person.
Yeah.
And Seanan McGuire.
Cool.
And, yeah. And so like Seanan McGuire and Kat Valenti, who I did an event with a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Like they're both authors who have written so much that like, I didn't even know where to start. So I hadn't read any of their books before. I read Kat's book for the event, Comfort Me with Apples, her new novelette.
Amazing.
I know. So I hadn't read any Seanan McGuire books either. So I picked up Every Heart a Doorway.
Okay.
Read it in one sitting. I was like, I'm sold. Like I need the rest of Seanan's work now. So that's what I've been reading.
That's incredible. That's so cool. Yeah. I think I attended the virtual event with you and Kat.
Oh yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, we love Kat. That's so cool. Oh man. I was like watching the tweets come in from Emerald City Comic Con and I was like,
oh, it was like so much
living
fun.
Vicariously through everyone on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, ARCs is, that's the story of my life.
Yes. Yes.
People are like, what are you reading? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you, but it's not out for a year.
Yep. I get that I go to a book club at my local independent bookstore and we go around and talk about what, and they're like, Genevieve, books that are out. What have you read that is actually out that we can go and purchase? I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember the release dates of anything. Right?
Exactly.
Have you read The Witch's Heart? that's hilarious. I think that's, I mean, I could literally sit here just gushing about your book for the next hour, but
Thank you so much.
I think that's all the official questions I have for you. So unless you have anything that you are like dying to tell the listeners.
No, not really. No.
Awesome. Then I will let you go because I know you are busy with these virtual tours and things like that. And I will just keep chucking the witch's heart at everyone who walks in the door.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Until I, you know, was on the road to publication, I did not realize like how much of the work that librarians and booksellers and reviewers like put in. Mm-hmm. Y'all are my rock stars. Thank you so much for everything you do. Like you are on the ground getting like authors' books into people's hands and you're amazing. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for hanging out on the podcast. It was so great to chat with you.
Thank you. It's great to chat with you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Genevieve Gornacek for joining me on the podcast. The Witch's Heart is available now at Gibson's Bookstore. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!